Well, I'm thankful for each one that have made it out this evening. Have a little message to leave with you. Have you ever read a verse in the scripture that made you twitch a little bit when you read it? You ever been there when you read a verse and it caused you to shift a little bit in your seat? And the reason it caused you to twitch or shift a little bit is because maybe you weren't sure if it was going to be possible for you to live up to that scripture that you just read. Seemed like it was kind of hard to see yourself measured up. Well, I'd like to read one of those places this evening. Maybe get some help tonight. If somebody could get James 1. First chapter of James, and read verses 2 through 4, and somebody else, Romans 5, 3 through 5. And this is the reason I wanted to get two of these. It's the same topic, but it's given by two different writers. Paul brought this out, and then so did James. So I feel like this is wanted to bring out from both writers and get a hold of both of their perspectives. Who has James 1, 2 through 4?
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of different temptations. All right, who has Romans 5, verse 3 through 5? All right. Well, what do y'all think? Do you glory in tribulation? Glory in tribulation. Do you count it all joy when you fall into divers or various different kinds of hardships? When things are going well for you in life? You know, life has its ebbs and its flows. Sometimes things are going pretty well, and then sometimes things aren't going so well. Question tonight is, when things seem to be going pretty well, do you say, Lord, I sure wish you'd send me a real difficult trial, because I find a lot of joy in that and it might just make my day better for it. Is there anybody here that's in that place where you just glory in tribulation and find great joy and the kind that just has an emotional bubble to it, just bubbles out of your heart? Well, I'm gonna open up to you a little bit tonight. That's not where I am yet. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that the Apostle Paul and James were more spiritually advanced than I am. No doubt in my mind. And that they, no doubt, were able to get to a place much more quickly than I of seeing the value in trial and tribulation. But I think that these verses that both Paul and James put in the scriptures, they were put in here to reach and to minister to the multitudes, not just to those that were the most advanced spiritually. I believe that these were put in here for us, that there would be something there that the Lord wanted us to get a hold of. And I think that these verses are intended to help bring us perspective. Help bring us perspective in the area of trial and tribulation. I'd like to draw something on the board. You ever seen one of these? You ever seen a T-chart? That's called a T-chart. You have pluses on this side, minuses on this side. And sometimes, you know, it's just a simple way when you're trying to make a decision. Maybe you're comparing two different options. And so you write down, you know, the pluses of doing it on this side, you write the minuses on this side. Sometimes you're trying to evaluate, is this a good idea for me to do? And the decision is you do something or you do nothing. You just you stay with your current route. And so you tabulate pluses and minuses. And you put everything down you can think of, and then you get to the end and you evaluate the pluses and the minuses, and then you make a decision as to whether it has a net positive or a net negative. Do we go with this or do we not go with this? Is this a good thing, or in the end, is it something that maybe we would rather not do? So, how would you categorize being strong? Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's not a trick question. Would you categorize it strength? You're a strong listener. You are a strong communicator. You're strong at reading. You're strong in body. As opposed to you are a weak listener. You're weak in body. You're weak in different areas. You would say, I think, most of us, you would say that strength is a positive, wouldn't you? Most of us would. Well, you know where I'm probably going with this. But how do you get strong? How do you get to a place where you have strength? If you're talking about strong in body and you want to get stronger, and so you're going to go lift weights, you're not going to get stronger if you don't lift to the point of discomfort. If you just lift whatever's comfortable and you don't ever cross the line into the uncomfortable zone, probably not going to get any stronger. In fact, over time, what happens is you will start to get weaker if you don't ever experience discomfort, because over time, the body starts to break down. And so if you want to maintain it, that level of discomfort is probably going to go up just to maintain. But if you want to become strong, you're going to have to be willing to go past the point of comfort into the zone and realm of discomfort if you want to be strong in body. And we agreed that strength is a positive. But a lot of times we don't like what it takes to get to strength. And so people don't want to go into the area of discomfort. And so they're never able to have this define them, because they run away from what it takes to get there. If you want to be a strong runner, You can't think yourself into being a strong runner. You can't read running magazines and get all the right clothes and all the right running tennis shoes and you get all the right running gear and the right sweatpants. And I mean, you got the look. You look like a runner if nobody knew any better. Well, some people do. You're not going to become a good runner unless you go run. And if you weren't a runner and you want to be a strong runner, you're going to experience discomfort. It's the only way to become a strong runner. If you want to be a strong thinker, you have to be willing to think and to dig and to research and to evaluate. If you want everybody else to do all of your thinking for you, and you're more comfortable always just having somebody to tell you what to do all the time, you won't be a strong thinker. Strong thinkers, it takes exercise, if you will. You get the idea. The Lord is calling us to grow in grace. The Lord is calling His people. He wants a mature people, spiritually mature. He wants a people that understand, have some understanding about what life is about and protect us in it. But so that we can grow stronger, not only for ourselves, but for those that are coming after us. We don't live unto ourselves as much as we'd like to live unto ourselves. Have you ever heard people say, well, don't look at me, it's just me. This is just my life. Don't look at my decisions. It's my decisions. What I do is me. Don't look at me. Look, it doesn't work that way. People are going to look at you. People are going to take cues from you. And God wants us to be a light to the world. The Lord is looking for us to know how to be a strong Christian in the midst of trouble. Because there's other people that are going to face trouble. And they're going to look to others to find strength and understanding and courage. But the only way that we're going to get to that place is if we find ourselves in that zone of discomfort. Sitting on a couch, lifting only empty boxes, or the boxes that have the lampshade in it, leave somebody else to, you know, take the box that's full of books. We just got through moving. And some of the boxes were all the same size, but they didn't all feel the same. Some of them were a whole lot heavier than others were. If you're always looking to take the elevator and not the stairs, if you always want to look for the easy box to lift instead of saying, you know what, I'll take the heavy one, it makes for weak people. And it makes for weak Christians. The Lord wants us to be strong Christians. The Lord wants us to be able to grow in Him. And we cannot grow in Him and become strong by just observing and by being a passive participant. We have to be active participants. It's the same in a congregation. Sometimes it's uncomfortable to step out in a congregation and take a part, however small it may be, because it's uncomfortable. But you won't ever get stronger if you're not willing to step into a zone of discomfort It doesn't mean that the Lord asked you to go from lifting 5 pounds to 500 pounds. He doesn't ask us to do unreasonable things. But He does ask us by His grace to step out in faith and be willing to be in a place that's not always comfortable. Tribulation is a key part of spiritual growth. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John and the second verse, He said, "Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit," what does He do? What does He do with fruit or a branch that doesn't bear fruit? Does He leave it? Does he say, "Good job? You are a real example"? No. It says, "Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away." But listen to the next one. "And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." If I were a branch, it would not feel good to be pruned. Why would that be fun? To have someone come along and lop something off of me. That hurts. It feels like it's taking away something that I'm comfortable with. And when you separate from something that is part of who you have become to be, or a lifestyle or an environment that you are comfortable with, and somebody comes along and introduces a different kind of environment that's not a more pleasant environment, we as human beings draw back from that. That's not an environment that we choose to be in. And if I were a branch and someone came along and says, "Well, I'm going to purge you, I'm going to have to cut these branches off because they're unnecessary and they're actually hindering you," it would hurt. However, take note that the Lord said, if you're bearing fruit, if fruit is coming out of your life, He says the Lord's going to notice that. He's going to see that, hey, there's fruit there. There's a heart there to bear fruit. And I have an interest to help you bear more fruit. So then the Lord comes along and in His mercy, He comes along and He prunes, He purges, He trims off, He makes changes to your tree that's not always comfortable. But He does it so that in the end, you'll bring forth more fruit. Isn't it a good thing to bring forth more fruit? Wouldn't that be put on the positive side? This option brings forth more fruit. That's a positive. Yes, there's pain associated with it, but it's a net positive. And the Lord wants to bring us all to a place spiritually where we have gained, not maintained, not regressed, not gone backwards, but He wants us to improve in Him. And I guess there's not a lot of things that are sadder and more disappointing than someone who bears fruit, but then is unwilling for the Lord to touch that place in their lives where they have a sin that doth so easily beset them, the thing that sometimes causes us to get off course, and the Lord sees that we're bearing fruit. He sees that we have a heart to serve Him, and He comes along and He wants to do something special for us. Special. Designed just for you. He's developed a cross
just for you to pick up and carry. Because he sees that if you'll carry that cross, it will help take care of the thing that left unattended could be your detriment. And you could end up being lost. Not a worker in his field that he has plans for. That's sad. And then you see the tree begin to wither and bear no more fruit at all. Because we reject the Lord in His dealings with us. I don't want to be in that place. I want to be in the place where the Lord sees that there's fruit that is being born and then be willing. Be willing to give the Lord space even when I don't understand it. When I don't see the end of it. To be able to trust the Lord, God, You know what's best in my life. Even so, Lord, Thy will be done. So what are some of the takeaways from this verse, these two verses? Instead of us being so quick sometimes during the time of trial and tribulation, we can be so quick to count it on the negative side. It is human nature to murmur and complain when things occur in our lives that are not pleasant to the flesh. I've done my share of murmuring and complaining. And I believe that the Lord would have us that we would pause and be cautious before we murmur and complain so quick about the things that appear to be a net minus in our lives, when in actuality, God may be sending exactly what it is that you need. Paul said in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to my purpose." No, according to His purpose. All things work together for good. So, the Scripture says, we glory in tribulations also, knowing, and here's a progression, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Usually it wouldn't be a tribulation if it came and went really fast and it was gone. But most of the time, if it's really tribulation, it lasts a while. It lasts longer than what you would like it to last. And it works patience. And patience experience. So now you have to wait a while. Now you have to learn patience. But then at the end of patience, tribulation comes, it works patience, and at the end of it all, now you have experience. You have experience that, oh, the Lord blessed me in this thing back here. It looked like it was a net minus. But now that I see it, now that He's spent some time working on me, now I have the experience to know that sometimes things that look bad, the Lord is working for our good. And when we get those experiences, then it says, experience hope. Now the next time tribulation comes, before you ever have to go through the patience part and the new experience part, now the tribulation shows up, but you have experiences now from the past where the Lord worked in your life. And now it gives us hope for the tribulation that we are now in. Does this make trials easy?
Does this bring overwhelming joy and emotion that causes us to smile when we're in some of the most difficult trials? No, I haven't found it to be so in my life yet. But it does bring perspective. It does bring perspective to tribulation and to trial and to hard places. It does bring perspective. And I want to say this too. May the Lord help us in our trials, because life can bring some hard ones. This message is in no way meant to infer that no matter what comes, you go, oh, well, the Bible says, you know, just to count it joy, so everything should be okay, so it's good to go, everything's okay now. No, that's not what I'm saying. It is not in any way to minimize the depth and the reality that life brings some trials that go really, really deep, and that sometimes last a really long time. And sometimes some of the things we face in life, we may never see or know what the good was while we're on this side of eternity. We may not know. And some of them have a way of bringing us to our knees daily with tears, because it hurts. And the hurt is real. And these scriptures, I don't believe, were ever meant to minimize the reality and the experience of hurt and pain and tears. The Lord is not saying, wipe away your tears, you should be happy about this, there's a better end in sight, you know, you're making too big of a deal about this. Jesus Christ cried with those that were sorrowing. Moments before He raised Lazarus from the dead, He knew He was going to do that. He could have said, y'all, just, I've got it. He could have been smiling while they were crying. I got it. Here, watch. But no, He felt their pain. He felt their grief. And He entered into their grief with them, even though He knew that He was going to work something positive out of this. And He cried with them. And I want you to know this evening that the Lord cares about your trials and your tribulation. And I believe that He hurts with us and grieves with us, as He did with the multitudes that day. Because He loves you, and because He knows that your feelings are real. But I also believe that the Lord wants us to know that in our hardest battles and in the trials that we go through, that He hasn't forsaken us, that we have a choice to make. We can either choose to allow the trials and the hardships be used by the Lord, however difficult they may be. We have a choice to make. Lord, I want to use this so that it can be counted on the positive side. Count it all joy. Count it a net positive. Count it
a plus. Is there hardship associated with it? Yes. Does it minimize the pain and take it all away and make it all better because you know that in the end you'll be better for it? No, it still hurts. But the Scripture says, count it. Check it off over here. And I believe that if we'll do that, that it will help bring us perspective and change our outlook. That when we face the hard places of life, it does give us hope. Lord, you know what I need. Lord, you know what is best. Lord, I have confidence to know that you want me to be a strong Christian. Lord, help me to use this time of discomfort to not murmur and complain, to not quickly categorize it as and count it as a net minus, but by the grace of God that I would count it as a positive. This message is for me as well as it is for you. Pray for me because I want to be true. I want to be faithful. I want to grow in the Lord. I want Him to be able to work with the places in my life that are weaker than they should be. I want to be able to continue to bear fruit. I don't want to be cast away. I want to be true. Amen.